this morning I've really got some quite long boundaries because Cilicia Paul has written to the Ephesians. And I know even I used to receive visits from one of the channels, I would quickly open them and read the whole thing. Often just read the first few lines or the first few verses. I'd read the whole thing and then I would go back through and look at the particular words and analyse it. It's alright, I'm not going to read the whole Ephesians this morning. But the theme that Paul has in Ephesians, the first theme probably carries through to the end of chapter 3. And I want to read now part of chapter 2. Made alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The Spirit is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ Jesus, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by this grace you have been saved, through faith, and if this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So that's an incredible statement there, isn't it? For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And you'll notice through that reading that Paul has actually repeated a bit of what he had already said in the first chapter, because he really sees it's so important. So the question I asked the children today, who are we? And it says, well, there's a chap, Neil Anderson, in a book that he wrote, Setting Your Church Free, says, no person can consistently behave in a way that is inconsistent with how they perceive themselves. It is not what you do that determines who you are. It is who you are that determines what you do. So we can't act inconsistently with what we believe about ourselves is different, we can't act differently out. Basically what it says. So, Proverbs 23 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And Jesus said in Matthew 12:33, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's inside determines how we act. A friend of Glenys' sister visited us some time ago, Robin Taylor. He's a physician, or was a physician at Dunedin Hospital, and he's a Christian, involved in the church there. And he's since moved back to Edinburgh, in his home country, and he was back visiting friends in New Zealand, and we came across him. And he commented to us about his observations as to how people's perceptions about themselves and their family's perceptions and community expectations had such a deep effect on what they do and their vision for life and what they believe in their heart about themselves. He noted that in the area he works in Edinburgh, has an unusually low life expectancy, compete with other similar areas around. And there's a general pervading atmosphere of depression. Robin enjoys engaging with people wherever he goes, and he noticed the cook in the cafeteria seemed to be very solemn in his work. So he determined that he would try and engage in conversation. He worked away at trying to interact with him over several days of being in the hospital cafeteria queue. And during these conversations, he asked him if he enjoyed his work. He replied, no, he hated it. Robin asked him the obvious question, well, why do you stick at it? And what would you really like to do if you weren't doing this work? The reply he eventually got was that he would love to be a policeman. However, his father had been in similar work all his life, and why should he be any better or different to his father or what his family expected of him? He believed his family would not approve if he tried to become a policeman. Mm-hmm. Robin informed them that if someone in New Zealand did not like their job, they would just have a go at something else, and he tried to encourage him to think and see outside the box. The guy gradually warmed to his persistence, but he still resisted the change. Robin postulated that this type of mindset was affecting the health of the whole community with a persuading pessimism and depression, which was really impacting on their life expectancy statistics. The way we think and perceive ourselves affects our whole lives. And that's reflected in the statistics in this area. What is in our hearts? And how is that affecting the way we live out our Christianity? To look at Ephesians to see what Paul had to say about who we are in Christ. And first of all, Paul identifies himself. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul knows his role is to teach and share the good news about Jesus, and that this role had been given to him by God. And we can see from his letters, this knowledge determined how he lived out his life. Paul saw himself as serving God. And at our home group recently, we looked at how Paul introduced himself in his letter to Titus. And then we were challenged as to how we would introduce ourselves. And we had some quite encouraging and wonderful replies and responses to this. And this gave us a glimpse of how we see ourselves in Christ. And I just wonder if we've got Olivia here this morning and Steve. They might like to come and share their responses and how they would introduce themselves.
As we looked at how Paul started his letters, he identified himself with Christ, and we were given the opportunity to do that ourselves, and it was a very special time, and we all did it right around the whole room. For me, for me to sit down and write something down on paper is usually a big ask, because I usually have to think about something for about half an hour before I can do it. But I found as I did it, the words just flowed, and I was quite amazed. And what I'd like to say this morning is I challenge everyone here to get the opportunity. Well, as you sit down sometime and actually do it themselves. Do it for yourselves, because it's actually quite a special thing to do. It was really, as a group, it was a neat thing to actually hear what each one had to say or felt that the Lord had spoken to them about. So here's mine anyway. I, Steve, of Coldwick Farm, farmer of livestock and crops, husband of Judy, and father of Andrew, Jonathan, and Rebecca, and Steph, Joe, Olivia, Peter, and Gina, and Celine. Jesus has poured his love through his spirit into me from an early age. His love has always been there, even though sometimes I have not recognized it. this is speaking, myself speaking to what I felt I needed to say to Jesus. Recently, your Spirit has come to me in a way that has given me a desire to grow in faith and knowledge of you. This has resulted in a desire to worship as a response to your overflowing love. My wish as a father is that my family will know the love of Jesus in their hearts, that will provide total healing and faith in our loving Father God. Olivia's going to shoot this.
Yeah, so I just want to say, yeah, just this kind of stuff of just, you know, out of the blue, it really takes a long time to get connected with God in that way. It's so special to be able to share with this. I'm Olivia, who chose him for the role because it was so much easier to do life. Placed in his protection, surrounded by his promises, a warrior promised to take light into dark places. I am safe in his truth and stumble with blind eyes without his fierce guiding hands. A princess of God under continual transformation.
Thanks for taking the courage to express yourself in front of everybody. It does give us a glimpse into what's in your heart, how you see God, how God sees you. And how that affects your life. And so thank you for doing that. And Paul had this confidence in his purpose. He said, I'm an apostle by the will of Christ. And I'm his servant. He knew who he was in Christ. And he begins to encourage the Ephesians by attempting to describe the wonder of what God has done for us. And he's chosen us from the very beginning, and it would appear that we are God's first choice, or picked to be on his team. So could we go, we've got them here, very good. Oh, this is even better. I just had one page with them all this year. Right. So you remember being picked at school, and you have picking teams and you're perhaps the last one off the rack because you didn't have the good ball skills or something and you got left there. God says, you're the first one on my team. You're not the last one because you're the last person standing. He's chosen us. He's picked us to be on his team. He redeems us. He paid the price by Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And having done that, God doesn't hold our sins against us or threaten us not to forgive us them if we don't behave ourselves. He completely forgives us, and that's important. And after he's done that, he adopts us as his sons and daughters. He does not redeem us to be slaves. That was probably what some people might have done in the past. They might gone to a slave market to buy somebody, you became their property and you had to work for them for life because you were their slave. God doesn't do that. He makes us his sons and daughters. We're given an understanding of his plans. That is to bring everything on earth and heaven together under one head, who is Christ. We're then given the mark and seal of the Holy Spirit. It shows that we are God's possession and under his protection. The Spirit's presence in our lives gives us confidence of God's promises. The Holy Spirit connects us to God. We remember what Anthony was saying last week. We're made into one to become the body of Christ with him as the head. We're no longer to act as individuals, but we become a small but honoured and valued part of a much greater whole. And Paul elaborates on this in other letters to Corinthians. As part of Christ, we will rule in the heavenly realms and be filled with his fullness, his glory, his strength, his love, his nature, purity and understanding.
And we are God's workmanship, finally created in Christ. And the verses immediately prior to that one about we are God's workmanship created in Christ make it very clear that our salvation has nothing to do with how good or bad we are. It's not how many good works we may have done or anything like that. Some people think that because they do good works or good things that God should accept them because they live good lives. God says, salvation is my gift to you. It's not something you can earn. And it's not even our faith in God and good works that saves us. All we need to do to accept this free gift is to accept this free gift of God to be saved. A gift which can't be taken away. Now there's a little thing of comparison on the thing here, and it's got our position in Christ and our practice, and I took this out of commentary. Because on the left-hand side here, it said, the reality is we are made new in Christ. We're holy, we're adopted as sons, we're forgiven. But on the other side is the practice. And we realise that we're still becoming that here. But we need to know that every day that the reality is we are made new in Christ. We are holy in Him. And we need to take every thought that we have captive to Christ when challenges come to us that challenge that position. And say, confess it really to God. And say, yes, that's me. I did get angry. I do get angry. I hate that person. I do that wrong. Whatever it is that we have wrong. Take that to God. Confess it. Put your hands up. Say, yes, that's me. And then, what you do next is the important thing. Is that you say, the new me is the one that doesn't do that anymore. I am not condemned by that anymore. I am forgiven. And so you nail that old thought, that old action with your old self to the cross. And you leave it there. And then you turn your attention to God and you say, thank you, Lord, I am forgiven. And give Him praise. Because by doing that, we really affirm what the reality is in our own lives. And we don't need to listen to those voices that condemn us and of self-doubt or whatever. We know, and we then, by nailing that to the cross, and then confessing that Jesus has covered us from that, we allow ourselves to, can read it here, to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and it allows us to be created new in Him. And by doing this, we prove the infinite riches of His grace to us each day. And so it talks about, in one of the verses here, that we'll know the infinite riches of God's grace. And when we come and say we're covered by Him, we prove that to ourselves and to the devil. However, once we accept this gift, this free gift of God, the result or the fruit of which it is good works. And good works will still reflect the inner change that has taken place and is continuing to take place in our lives. Paul goes on in the later chapters on how to practically affect these changes in our lives. You may think that, however, this is pretty much Christianity 101, and it is. But the real question is, what are we doing with it?
Are we allowing the knowledge that Paul's soul is so important to share with the Ephesians who were already Christians to affect the way we think and live? Is it changing how we think of ourselves and our identity and purpose for living? How does that knowledge that we've been given, that we've been chosen and accepted by God, affect us? That we will rule with Christ over all realms. This should give us a sense of security, significance and acceptance. This is the reality, and we need to begin to live it out in faith. We are part of a much greater body in which we have a vital part to play. Begin to live this out each day by learning how to work in with each other and to love each one in faith. Our roles, which are good works and gifts, have already been prepared for us to do and us prepared for them. We don't need to worry about finding what our gift is in some ways, but by staying connected to God, these will be revealed in time as we are open to the opportunities that come to us each day. God will bring these works to us, for us, and we need to be there ready, open to do them. Have an expectation and faith that God wants us to do good works each day. Allow you to be put in the right place and be ready. Don't be so busy trying to do good works for God that you miss the good works He's already planned for you. Remember, nothing we can do for God is ever good enough, except we can listen to Him and follow Him. We don't need to be results focused, but we do need God's peace about what we're doing. Paul doesn't start the letter by berating his readers to be better leaders, parents, husbands, wives, children, etc., but he tells them who they are in Christ first. This is the essential knowledge we need to build daily into our lives so that we will become better in these areas. We need to understand the power that we have in Christ. We rule over everything with Him in the heavenly realms. In faith, the devil no longer has any hold over us. And this is the essential knowledge we have in the spiritual battle we're involved in.
That's right.
It is only when we know who we are in Christ and we begin to put it into practice by faith in our daily living that we'll grow and mature as individuals and as a church. So, know who you are in Jesus, so you too, like Paul, can confidently introduce yourself in the service of Christ. And I just want to close with a prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians in chapter 3. And this is incredible. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, you may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.